Blog Talk Radio.
Paperback Writer.
This is the Writer's Lounge. This is where we showcase new authors. This is show number 120. It is July 25th, 2022. I am your host, Tom Riddell, and co-host Terry Brown will be with us shortly. And a brief intro to tonight's show, we have on Cami Finch, and she is a book publicity director over at Atmosphere Press. So stay tuned for that. We'll bring her on about 15 minutes past the hour. Now, more about us. Here's where you can find us out there. Find us on Facebook, The Writer's Lounge, showcasing new authors. Find the book reviews of all of our current shows over at thomasriddell.net. That's thomasriddell.net in the blog section. And the on-demand radio shows can be found there on the podcast page as well. Or go over to the Blog Talk Radio site and search for The Writer's Lounge. Find me on Twitter at TomRiddell56, and our email is writerslounge2020@yahoo.com. If you want to be a guest on the show and have your book reviewed, put guest request in the subject line, and we will get back to you. A special note, we can also now be heard on your Alexa device. Subscribe to Apple Podcasts and ask her to play The Writer's Lounge, showcasing new authors. I'd also like to put in a plug for Goodreads and Rediscovery. They both do a great deal to help authors and readers alike, and I also review books on both sites as well. Upcoming authors on the Writer's Lounge is in September, because guess what? We deserve a break. Summer break is coming. August, we will not be on the air, but in September, we will resume. And on September 5th, 2022, author Tom Tibber will be here with his book, Fortunate Son. Fortunate Son is a coming-of-age story set on a Southern college campus during the turbulent spring of 1970. That should be a good lead into this book, and so let your imaginations take hold of that. And on September 19th, Troy Ratliff will bring in his book, Something Found, A Coin. A coin is found by a beachcomber with a metal detector. It's a coin the size of a penny, but it's a lot more than that. It's an adventure that will have you wanting more after the last page is read. I hope you'll tune in to these exciting upcoming shows. It's always exciting for our authors and also our readers, too, that tune in to the Writer's Lounge. And now the next segment of our show, as we usually do here, is the Writer's Topics. And this week, hopefully, we'll not have any problems like we did last time around. We brought in Terry last time, and we couldn't get Terry in last time. So hopefully this is all going to turn around and work the way it's supposed to tonight. And I will click the button here. And Terry Brown, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me today?
Yes, I can. It's nice to hear you. And how's the weather in North Carolina today?
Hot, hot, and hotter.
Yeah, it's a time when I think we should have a lot of water by our side, and or if we can afford it or are in the position to have a swimming pool, that would be great too. Or even better than that, if you're on a beach and sitting there, you know, like they did in the old days. I guess they still do. They probably bring paperback books to the beach and they read and they watch the waves and then they go in for a dip to come back. That would be very nice. The ocean is my favorite place to be. I miss it. I was in Delaware last August, and I would love to go back this year. Maybe I might in August. So we'll see what happens.
You should find your way to North Carolina. I live 8 miles from the beach.
Yes, I wouldn't mind doing that at all.
So you need to come visit.
Yeah, I would. I would love to do that. And
you have an open invitation anytime.
Oh, nice. Do you go down to the beach a lot with you and Bruce?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I go, I try to walk most mornings on the beach and take pictures of the sunrise. So I love being out on the beach. It's my favorite place in the whole world.
Do you build sandcastles?
I'm not good at it, but I don't mind playing in the sand.
Okay. Yeah, I can't remember the last time I built a sandcastle. I think I built one. This goes way back, and I think some kid came walking along or running along, and he purposely kicked my sandcastle over.
my castle.
Yeah. And knocked it over and destroyed the whole thing. I think I must have worked on the damn thing for probably half an hour. So that was the end of my sandcastle days. But I hear that you would like to talk about something that's called bias for survival. Can you tell us what that's all about and how does it relate to writing?
Yeah, so there is an author, her name is Grace Burroughs, and a friend of mine suggested that I read her and get on her newsletter, and she was talking about, there's a person named Jane Friedman who's in the publishing industry. She talked about this concept of bias for survival, and she borrowed it from someone named Ben Ornstein, and he talks about podcasters, and he says that podcasters need to make it through the first year. Because an overwhelming majority of podcasters don't make it through the first year. So his advice is to set everything up so that, like with sustainability in mind, if whatever you're doing today, can you still be doing that a year from now? And then Grace went on to talk about the fact that she wishes that someone had suggested that to her when she was a new writer. And as I'm reading her newsletter, I thought, oh my gosh, can I relate to this? Because she was going on and on about, you know, she had this huge list of things that she had to do. She had to create a website. She had to get on social media, all of it. She had to give away books. She had to do meet and greets. She had to go to marketing classes. She had to get reviews and on and on and on to the point that it's overwhelming. And, you know, that's kind of where I am right now because I got started. You know, I've been writing, but my book went out in January, and so I've kind of felt a little overwhelmed with all of these had-tos. And then she said that new authors should use the bias for survival principle because the only thing a new writer had to do is write more books. The rest of it helps you sell the books that you have, but if you don't have any books, the rest of it doesn't matter. And I thought, wow, that is, I mean, so simple, right? And then especially, like, if you throw in any kind of life event, you know, right now I'm dealing with the fact that my husband's been diagnosed with brain cancer, and how do I sustain what I'm doing given everything else that's being thrown at me right now? And so, you know, I need to focus on my writing first, and then I need to figure out what things are sustainable that I can keep doing and still be doing them a year from now. And that might mean that I have to cut out TikTok, and that maybe I don't do my social media posts every single day, and that maybe I don't worry about getting 100 reviews on my book before it even releases, you know, the next one that's coming out, and things along that line. And I kind of liked that idea.
I learned from somebody several years ago, they gave me some advice, and they say, focus on what you love the most and devote that much time to what you love the most. And that's why I had been, you know, chatting with you a little bit about blocking out time for doing just that. And once you do that, and as far as being a writer, once you absorb yourself into your story, that's got to at least take up, the way I figure it out, doing the math, would be probably 70% of the time, because that's why we're doing all this marketing, and is what you're doing is because we're trying to sell our book. And
right. And if you don't have a book, what good does the marketing do?
Right. You got to have the book. Yeah. You got to love what you're doing. Because I think it's real easy to get bogged down in all of that, and it's so overwhelming that sometimes I think, in fact, I do know some authors who quit writing just because of that reason. I can think of at least three or four of them that told me that they're no longer writing books because it's too hard to market. And it saddened me because I know that these people are very good and talented writers, but they've decided to give it all up just because they don't like to do the other part of it. But you can get so bogged down in that if you're not disciplined about the time that you spend on writing, then you're going to let that other stuff come in and just drown you out. Kind of a
right.
Reference.
And so that idea about, that idea about sustainability, can you still be doing what you're doing a year from now? If what you're doing is everything, if you're trying to do every single piece of marketing available out there and you're trying to do it every single day, you're going to burn out. And by the end of the year, not only are you not going to be doing any of that marketing, but you're not going to be doing any writing. You're probably not going to be doing much of anything. And so I really liked that idea. I thought it gave me a really good, it was very thought-provoking, and made me sit down and kind of examine what are the important things that I'm doing with my marketing that I believe are helping the most and that I can continue to do, and what things can I just put off to the side.
Right. It's called time management. And I think mentioned in the beginning about bias for survival, and you mentioned podcasting. Well, it's interesting because, as you probably know, that I don't use that word very often because when we started up here on the Writer's Lounge, it was 2011, and nobody knew what podcasts were back then. The term show, so I don't use podcasts. But it's got to say something for us being along here. We're approaching our 11th anniversary in August, which is when we're going to take our break. But we've been here for 11 years. And
I haven't really
had to do a lot of work. I just do what I love to do, and that's reading books, reviewing books, and getting in touch with authors and learning about them. And I'm so excited to have Cami on tonight, because already we've gotten somebody that's with Atmosphere Press beside yourself that has booked a spot, and we're already into October 17th. And so,
wow, that's great.
Right. And so she is, this woman is going to be coming on. We'll talk a little bit about her when we get Cami on here, but she was so excited to learn that she would have a spot on our program. And so The Writer's Lounge is doing everything by us for survival because we are surviving, and it doesn't take a lot of work from me. It takes a little bit of work, but I just love what I'm doing, and I think that that's what we have to do. Like you say, if we're writing, we have to focus on our writing and just absorb into the story and let that propel us forward. Yep. Very good topics tonight. So let's get on to the main event, and that would be Cami Finch, and she'll be here, and she's with Atmosphere Press. I want to remind everybody out there that this show probably would be a good idea to call in, because if you are a writer and you would like to talk to us or talk to Cami specifically and or Terry or me, but you can give us a call at area code 914-219-0868. And we do not bite. We're wishing that you would not be shy and give us a call. Or, you know, if you're not listening live or you want to catch up a little bit more later on after the show airs live, then you can catch us on demand and listen to what we all have to say then. But I wanted to say that in the 11 years that the Writers Lounge has been in existence, we've interviewed over 115 authors. But if my memory serves correctly, we have never had someone on the show that's in the book business. It's the process that becomes engaged right after the author has typed the last word in his novel. I think many would agree that it's then that the real work begins. To begin that process and to choose the right team can be a daunting task for a writer, and it can make or break his future success as an author. And Terry, who just recently published her first novel, Sunflowers Beneath the Snow, is a great benefit to our show because she offers a fresh perspective to what it takes to be an author. And she was faced with the problem, what should she do after the last word was written? And she decided to put her trust in Atmosphere Press. And I think she would agree that she made the right decision. I hope this show will provide authors out there some useful knowledge as they pursue their writing career. And now it is our pleasure to welcome Cami Finch, book publicity director from Atmosphere Press, to the Writers Lounge broadcast. And let's hope, Terry, that this works. And Cami, are you there?
Hi, I am. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, you scared me with the long pause there. I thought we were in an emergency mode here, but I'm so glad that you're here, and I'm so excited to have you on. And I know Terry and you have probably communicated quite a bit. I have not. So tell us about yourself. What brought you to the book business, and what's it been like for you to work at Atmosphere Press?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Well, thanks, first of all, so much for having me on. And it's so great to be here with Terry. Yes, we have. Yeah. she's one of our stars at Atmosphere, definitely.
She sure is.
Like left and right, another podcast. So, it's, you know, congratulations again, Terry, and it's great to meet you, Tom. I guess, you know, I'm calling in from Ann Arbor, Michigan, I guess kind of going into the book business, I first wanted to be a shoe shiner or the Statue of Liberty, so I always had an imagination, and I wrote and read constantly. I just knew I couldn't live my life without books, and so to learn that it was possible to talk about writing and books and be surrounded by other people who love it too as a career just seemed like the obvious path if, you know, I could make it work. And so I went to school for English and creative writing and went on to receive my MSA in writing and publishing. And that was a very special program because it was concerned with both publishing in the sense of sustaining one's own writing practice and career, which, you know, I think is very helpful to be involved as in the publishing business if you actually are kind of experiencing it intimately with your own work too. You have a little more empathy for what your authors that you work with are going through. But also we learned about the business side of how to be involved in the publishing world and make a living out of it. And so that was pretty unusual to have both of those sides of the process. So many, especially MFA programs, are very secretive about the actual publication process. And, I even find that there's so much that I have to demystify with the authors that I work with. And so having some insider baseball knowledge there was from the get-go was really, gave me a leg into the world of books. But for me, I think it's really about not only the making of art, but the sharing, the community aspects of literature and art, just like the conversations that, Tom and Terry have here, the kind of collaborative elements of the book world is really what is appealing to me. I've worked as an editor for literary journals, which is sort of like the ultimate collaborative project. I love interviewing authors. I've worked on the literary event side of things with the Brooklyn Book Festival. And I think that is just a really special part of being a literary citizen, is having so many different voices sort of side by side and in conversation with each other. And that's something that I really have loved about working at Atmosphere, is that, if you take a look at our catalog, online, you can see so many different types of writing and storytelling and experiences that are all there. And we like to say that there's something truly for everyone. Every reader can find something at Atmosphere that is calling to them. And so that's, I guess, my answer to your question.
And Cammie, when you were a little girl, what did you want to do when you grew up?
I would create, well, this is kind of funny, I guess I would make my own books, just sort of out of folded pieces of paper. I always thought that I would be an author illustrator, and then I found out that the illustrator side of things was not the course for me.
Oh.
I'll stick to the writing element, but
yeah. And so this next question here is, I want to direct it to my co-host, Terry, because you, of course, have got some experience with Atmosphere Press, and I want to kind of start this off. Terry, can you tell us how it happened for you? How did you find out about their services, and what's your experience been like to work with them?
So it's interesting. I didn't know how I wanted to publish my book. I didn't know how to publish my book. It seemed very scary, and nobody could tell you anything other than there was this mysterious letter that you had to be able to write perfectly, and you had to get it into the right hands at the exact right moment. And there were 100 million other people doing the same thing at the same time, and the likelihood that anyone that would ever notice you was slim to none. I mean, that's kind of the way it felt. And I had tried, writing those letters and getting my book out there, and pretty much I got form rejection letters or nothing, total silence. And, it leaves you feeling like, am I even a writer? Like, is what I'm doing, does it even count? And so I had considered self-publishing, but that worried me because, as someone as new as I was to this whole thing, I felt like I needed someone in my corner with me. I didn't want to just rely on a bunch of people that weren't connected to one another, an editor here and someone helping me, with copywriting somewhere else. I wanted everybody together on the same page. And it's interesting, I actually found Atmosphere Press at about 2:00 in the morning on Facebook.
Oh. The witching hour.
So I was just sifting through my Facebook, and Atmosphere Press ad came up. And so I clicked it and went through, and I looked, and I thought, I'll bet this isn't real. And I forgot about it. And about a month later, probably at about 2 o'clock in the morning, as I'm sifting through my Facebook, it popped up again. And I thought, huh. And so I looked at it again. And this time I took the name down. The first time I didn't even take the name. I didn't even remember. It was kind of like, yeah, whatever. And then I started doing some research to, you know, are they real? Is this really a publisher, or is this just a vanity press that will take a lot of money and won't do anything for me? Because if it's just a vanity press, then I can publish it myself and do it a lot less expensively. And so I started doing some research and finally decided, no, they seem to be real, and I'm going to give it a shot. And I turned my manuscript in, and it was accepted. So that's kind of – and from that point, it's been wonderful. I try to tell people all the time that, you know, Atmosphere Press is a hybrid press, and that it's different. It's everything that you absolutely love about having a publisher, and absolutely everything you love about self-publishing. And you don't have any of the things that you hate with either. To me, it's the best of both worlds.
Uh-huh. And we had talked about bias survival. And I think that kind of, correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't that take a little bit of a bite out of all the work that you need to do, even though you still do a lot of work after you're done writing, but it's got to lessen some of that load a little bit, right, Terry?
Well, yeah, and you have someone who's helping you know what the next step is. Because I guarantee when I was first faced with everything, even with someone standing there holding my hand, it felt overwhelming. I can't imagine trying to do that alone, trying to figure out how to get everything where it needed to be. And I didn't have to worry about some of it. You know, they're the ones that, you know, Atmosphere Press got it on Amazon for me. I didn't have to worry about that. They did that back-end stuff. They helped me get my book where it needed to be. They got it into the hands of the people that it needed to get. I didn't know what to do. I had no idea what needed to be done. Nobody teaches you that part. I wrote a book, and then I thought that I was done, and I had only just begun, and I didn't even know that until we got started. So it's been really great having them in my corner.
And so, Terry, I'm going to ask you to lead with the next question. I'm sure
All
you
right.
have a lot of questions for the people that have helped you out, so go ahead.
Okay, so Cammie, you know, an author has to decide whether to self-publish or go with a publisher like Atmosphere Press. So what advice would you give to someone who's just spent several months, sometimes even years, writing a book? How should they go about approaching this next step? Like, what should they be thinking of as they're making this decision?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I really appreciate, you know, you going through your 2 a.m. process and giving us a chance, you know. But I think, you know, you are a great example for, you know, authors at this particular step, because, you know, you had a plan, or you were thinking, you kind of self-reflected of like, okay, what do I want? You know, what I think listing what your goals for the book are, what are your dreams for it, and kind of creating an, you know, depending on, is community really important? Do you want a partnership? Do you want to be able to have autonomy or like total control over the product? Or are you okay with giving it over to professionals and being part of that process? Or do you not want to be part of the process and you just want to hand it over to somebody else? Or, you know, kind of taking a little bit of inventory or stock of like, okay, important to you, because that will then give you some sort of guidance when you have certain advertisements come across your Facebook, you know, you'll be able to have you'll have an idea of like the pros and cons of like, okay, if I self-publish, I'll have maybe save money in one way or another, or maybe I will feel like I've missed out on being part of this catalog of other writers, or maybe I don't have time to learn how to make a book into a book that other
right.
people will read. And so I don't want to try to like juggle all the different YouTube videos out there that will teach me how to turn a Word document into, you know, a book shape, or cobble it together, which of course some people do really well with that. And I am, you know, another question or another kind of bullet point that comes to mind is timeline. You know, there are some people that I've worked with or talked with who, you know, want their book out immediately. And, you know, I think that there should be an understanding that when you are working with more people, with a team of people, and there's a process. And so if you are someone who wants to have a book published, you know, next week, there are ways to do that, but it will just be a very different product than, and it doesn't mean that it's necessarily better one way or another. It's just all about sort of your end idea of what you want your book to be. You know, I think that educating yourself, you know, there is a lot of overwhelming aspects to, you know, after you have a manuscript of what to do next. But it is really helpful to have some sort of idea of what does it mean to have a published book, you know? And I would recommend articles like Read the Discovery. Jane Friedman, you mentioned, has some really great articles, you know, Literary Hub. Or listen to other authors' experiences, you know. You've got the Writer's Lounge right here that, you know, you can listen to, you know, the authors talk about their publishing experience, you know, Atmosphere is really welcoming to prospective authors who want to speak to our authors, you know, who have gone through the process before, you know, to get a sense of, well, what is it like to be a published author here? You know, as Terry mentioned, we are a hybrid publisher, which, you know, does mean that authors, they contribute funds to the production of the book. But that also then means that they have, you know, they're a partner of the book. They own 100% rights to the material. They have 100% sales proceeds, so Atmosphere doesn't take any royalties. You know, we don't force text edits on you. So, I mean, there's some, you know, it's all about kind of reading the fine details of, you know, and knowing what it is that is, you know, meaningful to you.
Right. I know for me, it was really important that I had control of my work when I was done, that I wanted to be able to listen and, you know, like I wanted an editor, but I also wanted to be able to say to an editor, I don't agree with that edit, and not be told, well, you either do what we said or we're not publishing your book. I just didn't want that. I just didn't want that. I think that it's really important as an author that you're willing to listen to your editor. They know what they're doing, but sometimes because of what you're trying to do, there may be an edit you don't agree with. And I like the idea that I had the chance to say, let's talk about this some more. You know, help me understand why you feel that way, you know, instead of do it or you're out. You know, I was really happy with that idea.
Yeah, definitely. I also feel like an underestimated, you know, part of the publishing process that, you know, when we are in the thick of writing, we aren't necessarily thinking about the, you know, the end object. But a really big part that, you know, can kind of make or break a book for an author or for a reader is the cover. And, you know, with Atmosphere, ones who kind of start the conversation about what their book covers will look like, and they're part of the process, and, you know, they ultimately approve the cover design that's going to go to print. And that is not always the case with publishers, you know. And, you know, having a cover, that really is the first thing that many readers will see. And it, you know, it can make a difference depending on the genre that you're reading. It can tell a lot about the book, you know, and that is something that, you know, with self-publishing, you can have a really great editor edit your work. You can be really great and, you know, following the guidelines of, you know, having a great printed book. But often it's the cover that can give away, I think, you know, if someone will ultimately want to buy it. You know, we are visual creatures, so, you know, that can make a lot of difference. And that's something that, again and again, our atmosphere authors, I often will hear that they are most happy with the cover design process and what their result is.
Right.
Very good.
I agree.
Very good. I have gone over to your website. Of course, I have to do my research before I have people come on my show, and I have to know a little bit about who I'm talking to. But I counted 21 people who work at Atmosphere Press, and that sort of surprised me. I wasn't expecting that many people. But how well do you work with the other team members? Are there ever major conflicts, and how do you come together to benefit the author and his or her book when you run into those minor or major conflicts?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, so the press was actually founded by my boss, the poet Nick Courtwright, in 2015. And maybe there were two or three editors that, you know, he was working with, but really, I mean, he was doing most of it. And I came on the staff in 2019, and you know, since then we really have grown. You know, we have sort of our core group of people, and then we also have contractors too. So we were always remote, actually, even before COVID. So we were, you know, remote before it was cool. we got that down pretty well. And it really works for us. You know, we do most of our work over email. We have, you know, everything in online folders that, you know, we have shared access. We have, you know, we do have phone calls. The publicity team has Zoom calls to have the face-to-face time with each other. You know, we use Slack and all of those different kinds of communication apps. But, you know, I think it's really, Nick's really, created, kind of cultivated, like, a supportive and kind staff. And, you know, there are definitely people on the team that I've only met via email, or maybe have just been the part of the process that I am, you know, that I exist in on the assembly line. There are some people that I've never had contact with. Many of us are cross-trained in the other departments. So I think that's really actually important, you know, kind of having an intimate knowledge of what's actually happening, you know, down the line or before, you know, before us. And that allows, you know, appreciation for our fellow staff members, you know, of the work that they're doing. But it also helps us have deeper access into the author's experience too, because we know that they've gone through this process and what they have come from and where they are going. So, you know, I don't know, you know, there's never really any personnel conflicts. I think it's usually the conflicts are, you know, you know, the printer, you know, printed the book upside down or something, you know, that is right out of our control, you know, and we, you know, our communication with each other is just great, yeah, really supportive. And, you know, we use a lot of Excel spreadsheets too, so that helps keep us organized.
So there's no brick and mortar location. It's all done online. Is that correct, Cammie?
That is correct. That is correct. Yeah. And even, you know, our books are all print on demand, which means that we use an outsourced printer. We don't have a warehouse of our own.
Have you ever authored a book? And if so, what was it like for you?
Oh, well, I've authored or written several books, but they are currently unpublished, and probably would be considered unfinished at this time. But no, I have a couple kind of book lengths or novella sized creatures that are, you know, kind of in process.
I'd like how she called them creatures.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, they have lives of their own, don't they? but I guess right now, you know, it can be really hard to, you know, focus on one's own writing when you're so focused on other people's, you know.
Right.
So I have probably over 100 smaller publications that are out there in various mediums, print and online, and creative writing, journalism, profiles, you know, but yeah, no, I have not authored a full book of my own, but I've had pieces in anthologies and magazines, and
Listen, Cammie, you and I are going to have to talk, and I'm going to have to encourage you. If you've got something out there, you should do it. And,
that's
and
right.
You should talk to Atmosphere Press. They're great.
Right.
Well, one day I'll get around to talking with them. Yeah.
Terry, go ahead.
Yeah,
Terry.
So... yeah, what exactly does a book publicity director do, Cammie?
Yeah, well, I can only speak from my own experience of what an Atmosphere book publicity director does, but, you know, at least in our process, so, you know, we do have a very streamlined process of, you know, when an author gets accepted, you know, they go through the editorial phase, the cover design process, the proofreading, the interior design. So there's someone kind of passing the baton with them throughout. And then after an author has gone through the production process, they receive this very surreal point of no return kind of physical proof copy. You know, they have the book. And at that point, you know, they've really, I like to say I'm like the caboose. You know, I'm there waiting for them at the end of the line. I think that's really important to have sort of a main point of contact at that juncture, because as Terry and Tom, both of you said, it is really overwhelming. You know, it has been sort of even with all the different people that an author talks to, it's very insular, you know, you're kind of contained in this tunnel that is Atmosphere. And then when you get to the point to talk to me, it's like, oh my gosh, other people are now supposed to read this book, and there's so many different balls to juggle. And so we have a phone call together to really go over their goals for the book, the logistics of, you know, a retail price and, you know, their release date and the timing of, you know, what do they want to accomplish before, during, and after their publication, and just trying to, like, map out a plan for the authors. We brainstorm their ideas that they come with. I provide contacts and, you know, helpful tips based on their particular projects and personality. You know, and then I help navigate really the, you know, the process of having a book that is a book, you know, out in the world. So in that way, you know, I think for the authors, I am a cheerleader, a source of information, a guide, hopefully a source of calm and support. From the press side, you know, I also oversee our publicity program. So we do have an in-house publicity team that provides additional publicity services and support for authors who are looking for extra outreach, you know, more kind of dedicated time, really like having a personal publicist. And then I also work with our social media team and Nick to garner visibility and growth for the press as a whole. So having more of a helping to create those ads that can be seen at 2 a.m. So in many ways, I guess I feel like a bridge between, or maybe a tether between the author experience, atmosphere's commitment to those authors, and then bringing the books to readers and influencers in the world. So it's sort of this tripart job.
Cami, I've just got a great question that popped into my head. If I have a book and I'm done writing my book and I want to contact Atmosphere Press and I pick up the phone or I do my first contact, who is the first person that I'm going to talk to at Atmosphere Press?
Yeah, so you'd be talking to one of our acquisitions, like our acquisitions directors. So those are the people who really are almost in a like a consultant in a way of you know, talking about, well, sort of, is Atmosphere right for this particular author? So kind of going back to that, that's why it's really helpful to have that self-reflection inventory of like, okay, you know, this is what I want for my book. And then our acquisitions team will talk through about the project, talk through the Atmosphere process, and then provide information about Atmosphere in a follow-up, you know, correspondence.
And I suppose, Terry, you had that experience pretty dramatically, I would imagine, when you you called them up.
Yeah, in fact, it was really interesting. I don't even remember now who I was talking to. I could go look it up. I keep notes with everything. But I was talking to someone, and we've gone through this whole long thing. I've been taking copious notes. And so then I said, okay, so I have a question. You know, now that we've had this long conversation, and, you know, about how long would it take you to determine whether or not you would accept my book? And he said, oh, well, I can send you a contract right after this phone call if this is what you want to do. And I almost dropped the phone. Because I thought, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, I thought we were just, I don't know what I thought. So it was very, wow, you mean like I could really have my book published? Then I cried. I don't think he knew I was crying. I don't think I heard the next 10 minutes of conversation either. So it was a lot of fun. It was also, it was just very fast. I think that I had always been told how slow it would be. First, you would finally find an agent, and then maybe you would get a publisher, and then it would take 42 years to get the editing done. I mean, that's the way it always sounded, and this was like, you want a book? You want the book done? We've read it. We think it's got merit. Let's go. And I thought, oh, my gosh. Yeah, it was great.
Some of our acquisitions, the people on the team who take those calls are actually the developmental editors. So, you know, they really are the ones who, you know, they can kind of claim the book and say, well, I really want to edit this book and be and work with this author. And so I think that can help speed up the process, because you already have an invested person who is like, okay, like, let's just jump to the chase. Let's work together on this, you know? I'm in, you're in.
It was really great. I had turned in my manuscript a couple of weeks before, and then I don't know, I got maybe an email that said, you know, essentially if you want to skip the line and you know, talk to someone now, you can do it. I thought, well, sure, I'll talk to someone now. Let's do it. And yeah, it was crazy because I thought we were just talking. I didn't realize that this meant that they were happy. Like when he said, no, this is a good idea. This is a good book. We like your writing. I thought, you like my writing? I mean, it was the first time a publisher had ever done anything other than send me a form letter.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, oh my gosh, I'm a good writer. I'm a good writer. It was just
right.
It was great. So.
And I gotta tell you, both Terry and Atmosphere Press, that Sunflowers Beneath the Snow was absolutely wonderful, wonderfully produced. Whoever had their hands in that book did an absolutely wonderful job. And well, it's right at the top of the number of books this year. I'm not going to give anything away, Terry, but you're right near the top of the end of the year. We do our bookshelf awards, and you're right up there, lady. And I guess along with you would be Atmosphere Press. So congratulations to you both on that. And now, Cammie, we're getting close to the end. I mean, we could probably go on for another couple hours here, but it's only a one-hour program. So what I want to put you on the spot and ask you, who are your favorite authors?
I wish I could just like turn a camera to all the stacks of books that are taking over my room. Oh my goodness. I mean, in the world?
Whoever you've read, do you read? That's the other, there's another question in here too. Do you read a lot of the books that you are putting out there in the public? I got to ask you this. Have you read Sunflowers Beneath the Snow?
I sure have. Yeah.
You have?
I sure have, of course.
Okay.
But I have not read every single Atmosphere book. I think last year we published 300 books. In my particular position, I am more of a consultant. You know, I talk to every author. And so I familiarize myself with their writing, their background, their genre, and that really helps to guide our conversation. I wish that I could just be the in-house reader. That would be a great job. I'm constantly reading, you know, outside of Atmosphere too, because, you know, I read for my own writing, which, you know, is, you know, different than other books that we publish in Atmosphere. And I am a very kind of linguistically lyrical person, so I love, you know, poetry, and I generally want to feel uncomfortable when I read, because I lean towards language that is super, like, in the body, so I guess some of my favorite authors right now would be Ian Carson and Akweke Emezi, Josh Charles, Ocean Vuong. And I also have other publishers that, you know, I also adore, you know, and I you know, just in the same way that they'll probably feel about Atmosphere, that it's like, oh, I'm excited about, you know, what the new books are. I also feel that way about other publishers. And so, you know, Archipelago and New Directions would be two that I would love to shout out. I love books in translation and really anything that kind of unscrews my head a little bit and puts it on upside down.
Right, right.
Yeah, and also yeah. Nature writing. I've been really into nature writing lately. You've read Braiding Sweetgrass by Robin Wall Kimmerer. I think I've probably listened to the audiobook of that like 5 times in the past
wow.
year. Yeah, I definitely wow. recommend it. She reads her own book and just has such a, like, it's such a genuine voice. I just feel so comforted by her.
Wow.
So,
well,
yeah.
Well, Cami,
talk about books for a long time.
We could all do that. We've you know, that's what we're all about here on the Writer's Lounge. But you have filled up a lot of my questions, and at some point I will be looking to publish some more, and I certainly will keep Atmosphere Press in mind. But now this is your Oscar moment, as we say. Any parting words of advice? They have to be quick parting words of advice. And who would you like to thank out there for everybody that's helped you along the way?
I really just want to thank people who create spaces for authors and readers, you know, not only the people who read and the people who write, but also the people who are kind to both of those people and people who make books, you know, it really is the community aspect, you know, more and more. It really isn't possible without so many different players. And yeah, I guess the other piece of advice would just be, you know, write because you want to write, you know, and believe in your work. You know, if you write and you want to publish, believe in it, you know. That would be my advice.
Good. Cami, it's been great to have you on. Terry and I both, I'm sure she will say this, and she know, I know she does, but thank you so much for the work you do, and thank you for being on the program. We really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much to both of you, Terry and Tom, and thank you. Your questions were great.
Okay, great. And with that, Terry, we end another show here in the final chapter. Any quick thoughts from you?
No, it was just really fun having Cami on. It has been a lot of fun working with Atmosphere Press. And I really think that for authors who are thinking in terms of the idea of self-publishing, but that seems daunting, a publisher like Atmosphere Press, it really does. It gives you all of the wonderful things about self-publishing, you know, the ability to keep your work and to have it be yours, and then it gives you all of the wonderful benefits of having a team stand behind you. So, you know,
right.
I can't say enough good about them. So.
Right. Very good. And we will talk to you, Terry, I'm sure we'll talk on the phone during our break here, but wish you the best in August, you and your husband.
Thank you.
And
thank
on September 5th, author Tom Tiber will be here with Fortunate Son. We mentioned at the beginning of the show. So looking forward to that. And until then, see you next time on the Writer's Lounge, where we encourage writers and readers to keep the pen and eyes to the page and to let the story begin. Enjoy yourselves. Be well. Enjoy yourselves for the summer. And
if they asked me, I could write a book about the way you walk and whisper and look. I could write a preface on how we met simple secret of the plot. It's just to tell you that I love you a lot. Then the world discovers, as my book ends, how to make two lovers